The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Yeah, the summer is here. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. We are live from the beautiful Grand Hotel in Malahide as part of News Talk's summer tour. All the thanks to ESB, Ireland's largest EV charging network. Ciara, the sun is beating down behind us. There's a beautiful view.
We are sitting in Malahide in the Grand Hotel, overlooking a rolling green lawn and the Malahide estuary, which is stunning. Like, you couldn't have a more beautiful setting. And we also have a beautiful audience. Can we hear you? Woo! We have a beautiful audience in the house today, and we are delighted to be here. And I think we kind of drew, is it the short, I think we drew the long straw in the summer tour.
We definitely did.
We got to stay in Dublin and see the very, very best of it.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. Listen, it's been lovely. We're off to see Malahide. We'll see you in talk to you tomorrow. Thanks. Oh, we actually have to do a show.
We do, and we have loads coming up, including we're going to be talking about Dublin as a venue, Dublin as a staycation, Dublin, our capital, which we all are very proud of, as somewhere you should go and visit and use. Not just the tourists should come here and use it. We should all be using it. And we're going to be talking today about concert and comedy venues. Where is the best spot? We're going to be joined by music journalist Pat Carty and Australian comedian Damien Clark to discuss. And of course, Katy Perry has come to town. She heard The Hard Shoulder was in town today, so she's here too.
She will be dropping in, and she's going to be performing live. No, she's not. Okay, are you a fan of Sea Swim and Sauna? Well, we are going to be getting all of Dublin's best beaches, the advice on Dublin's best beaches and Dublin's best saunas. That's coming up a little bit later.
And Malahide's own Malahide woman, James Patrice, is going to be joining us here in the Grand Hotel after 5 o'clock today to talk about Malahide and indeed Pride, because of course, June is Pride Month. But as always, we want to hear from you throughout the show, Shane.
Yeah, do get involved. Best way to do it, WhatsApp us for free, 087 1400 106. You can also text us at a cost of 30 cent on 53106, Ciara.
And if you're in the audience, you can just shout, and that's perfectly acceptable.
Roar
too.
Us.
As we mentioned, we are here in Malahide showcasing all the best that Dublin has to offer, broadcasting from the Grand Hotel. And we are joined now by Paul O'Keneela, travel journalist with the Irish Indo, Steve Cummins, comedian, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin, Fingal West. You're all so welcome. Thank you for coming.
Oh, delighted to be here.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you. We weren't sure anyone was going to come today because it's such a beautiful day.
Yeah, and the dart was down earlier on, which,
yes.
Louise, you discovered to your chagrin.
I discovered the trains and the darts weren't running when I got as far as Pierce. Luckily, I had enough time. I don't normally drive into work. I had to this morning because the trains weren't running again.
You normally get the train in from Skerries.
I do, yeah. I live in Skerries and I normally get the train. I live right beside the train station. It's a great service ordinarily, but today I arrived into Pierce Street and there were no trains. The trains were suspended, so I had to run back up to Leinster House, grab my car and drive out. But I'm delighted to be here, and Malahide looks absolutely stunning. You're very lucky. I think that anyone came indoors, we're very, very tempted to grab a 99 and head down to the beach.
We had to drag you from the ice cream shop to come here, didn't we?
Let's be honest. No, we agreed we wouldn't talk about that, though.
So this is your neck of the woods. This is your bailiwick.
It is. Well, the Malahide isn't in my constituency,
but
my
constituency is now
further
end.
So,
two,
yes, very fine beaches in my constituency, Rush, North Beach, beautiful. Loch Shinney, Skerries and Balbriggan, all part of my constituency. And look, you can't beat the North County Dublin coast when you're looking for something to do. If it's, whatever, getting out in the water, doing a bit of sightseeing, beautiful beaches, lovely, lovely restaurants. You cannot beat the food. Food here in Malahide is stunning.
We are going to have Oliver Dunn on the show later on.
I mean, he'll know more about it than I do. I know about eating it. He'll know how to make it. But, I mean, you couldn't be in a better place. I mean, I heard people's out in Skerries at the weekend and people were just wandering down along the beach, sun is shining, and they're saying, why would you go to Spain?
Yeah.
Like, why would you go anywhere? Why bother, when we have such beauty on our own doorstep? You don't even need to leave the beautiful county of Dublin.
You totally don't. And by the way, we will bring you any updates on the dart as we get them, if there's any issues with transport. I know loads of people need to get to Malahide today because obviously thousands of people descending on Malahide Castle a little bit later on in the show. But Paul, Louise has beautifully described how gorgeous it is here today. We do tend to overlook Dublin sometimes, don't we? As like we know that tourists, I mean foreign tourists, come to Dublin for staycations and for weekends and stuff. But we, the people who live in the hinterland of Ireland, we tend to overlook it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You can often do that, though. It's not unique to Dubliners that you sometimes ignore the treasure on your own doorstep. Like, how many of us would say, geez, when's the last time I saw the Book of Kells? Or when's the last time I went to the Guinness Storehouse? Or something like that. But Dublin would be well regarded from a European context, and lots of people want to come and see it. We love to give out about it, and that's a conversation for another day, let's
definitely
say. But
all positive today.
All positive. I'm hoping to get the dart back in the other direction. I go all the way out to Greystones on my way home, and I often think on that commute that it's one of the nicest commutes that I've taken in a capital city.
Dublin Bay is one of the most beautiful bays.
And it's undersold.
It really is.
Because when you think about, if you're booking a city break, you look in. You look into the shops, into the old towns, into the way the streets crisscross, into the museums and galleries, but you don't tend to look out so much.
No. It doesn't help that we stuck a big port right, you know, smack bang at the where there could be a beautiful development. Anyway, we'll go on about
you're not
that.
Wrong on the dart, though, because like that's why they called it Sorrento Terrace, because it reminds people of the Bay of Naples.
That's right, around Killine area.
Absolutely stunning. And I think Lonely Planet said it, one of the best train journeys in the world.
And if you follow that journey imaginatively, like you're going from Malahide through Clontarf to the city, you're coming out towards Dunleary, where Dunleary's going to have its Coastival Festival at the beginning of July. Then you're going to the beaches, to Dalkey, to Killiney, all the way out. So each stop is a little adventure in itself. And I think just the bay as well, there's an increasing number of sort of cruises. You can take Dublin Bay cruises. There's a company called Goat Boat Tours that goes out of Dalkey on a rib. You can see Dalkey Island, you can see the dolphins, you can see the seals. So again, we're thinking about a capital city here, but we're already talking about being out in nature. So that's something in a very short
period of time. A lot of cities, you have that, but you have to drive for 4 hours or something.
It's right there. You can be in the county and on the coast really quickly.
And Steve, you used to live in Malahide, and I know you are a sea swimmer and all that. We have, and I don't know if it's a post-pandemic thing, but we have started to use our outdoor spaces in Ireland quite differently, haven't we? Like, when I was growing up, feck all people sea swam. It was the oddball that did, but now it's like a way of life for people.
And I'll take oddball any day of the week. And I do love, by the way, that already the table is divided between North County Dublin and South County Dublin with the coast. You got Greystones over here with you two. I'm going to be with Louise on the Love Fest for North County Dublin's beach.
You got Shane on the north
it's
side.
It's stunning.
I'm on the Royal Canal. Does
which,
that count?
You know, well, you can
he's like the L triangle.
You can
that's
be the
what ref. He is.
But to call me a sea swimmer is lovely and lofty. Basically what I do is I go down to the beach. I always say I'm like the world's fattest Navy SEAL. I do like a load of press-ups and I go into the water for a while and I come back out. But I mean, it is glorious. The beaches along this coast are phenomenal. And I think we've all learned to just go, let's enjoy what we have on our doorstep, because I mean, I know it's a lot easier and cheaper to fly, you know, to fly abroad now than it ever was. But when you realise just how gorgeous it is, and I'm not saying I'm spraying aerosols into the air to get global warming to speed up and keep our weather getting better, but like we've all seem to have embraced just how beautiful, you know, Ireland is in the summer and indeed in the winter. I jump in the sea in the winter and it's
cold.
It's cold. It wakes you up. It's certainly, and it's the greatest hangover cure in history.
It is. Malahide, your introduction to Malahide and the bad streets of Malahide. Tell us about that. I say bad streets.
The
mean streets, the underbelly.
I moved about just over 20 years ago. We were living at the bottom of Talbot Street. And that was 20 years ago. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the left bank of the Seine like it is today. It was a bit rough back then.
Or the West Bank, as Bertie heard.
Or the West Bank, is a better way of putting it. But we literally lived about 200 yards up from where I'm sitting right now. But our second night in Malahide, there was a knock on the door and two Gardaí standing at the door. And I was like, oh, my Lord. The last thing I expected in Malahide. And they said, excuse me, some young lads are after throwing a golf club through somebody's window. And we want to know, did you hear anything? And I was literally going, that's the most Malahide thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it couldn't be a brick. And I guarantee you, it was an expensive club.
Oh, an expensive
It
one.
Would have been a Callaway or a TaylorMade, something fancy. But if that's the level of crime you have in Malahide, I mean, I think you're doing all right anyway. But we lived here for a couple of years, just when my eldest was tiny. And I mean, it's a beautiful place, just because we wanted to get out of the city centre just to have some space. And all we had to do was walk directly across the road there. And he was a toddler at the time. He was like practically crawling, and he could just crawl around onto the beach, everywhere else. Just perfect. Magical.
Yeah, no, it is. And like, it's an incredible setting, an incredible backdrop. I know we're on radio, so you can't see where we're sitting, but I do think we feel very spoilt this afternoon with our studio. So having said that, it's really, really hot. I mean, how are you in the heat, Louise? Do you find it?
I'm okay.
Like,
I'm
it's
okay.
Warm.
Yeah, do you know, the problem is you always enjoy the heat a lot more when, you know, when you don't have to work. When you're working, it can be hard. We're very lucky in the Dáil. The Dáil chamber is air conditioned, and all of the people who are normally in it with cardigans on, giving out about the cold, are in it now. The cardigans off, we're all actually appreciating. I have reached that age in my life, Ciara, where I heat up and for no reason anyway.
I think so, we're all there.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to it. You can never time it. You never get a hot flush when you're freezing or when it's standing on the train platform and it's cold. But you kind of don't notice now. It's mixing in with the heat. But it is, it's lovely. And we should enjoy it because the winter will be long. And I try to think when I'm, you know, when I'm getting, I'm walking up from the train in the morning, I'm like, oh, Jenny, it's very, very warm. It's very warm. And I just try to think to myself, when you're doing this in the rain and the freezing cold in November, you will remember the heat and remember how nice it was and just try to enjoy it.
Lovely here. And I don't want to put too much of a downer on, but it is worth mentioning, like, across Europe. I saw a stat today. I think it's 95 million people in Europe will encounter temperatures over 35 degrees today.
I heard a guy on the news on one of the British news channels yesterday speaking about the divide and the fact that, you know, if you have money, you can buy air conditioning. There is a real price to be paid, particularly for people on a low income at this time. And the same as it's tough to heat your house, it can be very tough to keep cool. When you have kids, you have to keep the kids cool. Whatever about you can manage it. When you have children, you have to keep them in the shade. So it can be tough. There is definitely a downside to it. And, you know, I mean, we're being very lighthearted here, but the truth is people do have to cool down. That does cost money. And it isn't, I know in England, they're opening up cool banks to places where people can go to cool down in the same way as they would have had places to go for people to get warm during the winter.
It's a great idea.
They have it. It works. I think it's unfortunate that it has to happen, but I think it's when it has to happen. Yeah.
Opening them in Spain and France and all that, two places you can go that are air conditioned for people who don't have air conditioning.
I have a few tips for you if you'd like to keep yourself cool, genuinely.
Yeah.
One is, and this is apparently is pure physics, rather than having your fan on your windowsill and blowing in, you have your fan blowing out, and what it's doing is it's blowing the hot air out of the house and letting cooler air in. Now, that obviously not in the height of the day, but especially when it comes to the evening. Absolutely keep your blinds closed all day during the height of the day because your house fills up. We all have brick houses, and the interior just, like, brick holds heat beautifully, which is great in the winter, but it means in the summer it's really, really bad. But the other one is a cold water bottle in bed. Basically, get your hot water bottle, fill it 3/4 full, throw it in the freezer, and then when you're getting into bed, just wrap it in something so it doesn't drip all over you, and it'll keep you cool in the bed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There you are.
Someone did some research. We've had experts on that gave us less good information than
that. It's so succinct and to the point. Well, three quick tips on what you
ask a comedian for any problem you ever have.
By the way, we are hearing that the Dart is running, but that there are delays because of an earlier incident. I'm not sure if that's the same earlier incident. I suspect it might not be, but that it's running about 20 minutes late at the moment. But hopefully for those people who are trying to get to Malahide this evening for the fireworks that Katy Perry will be bringing, I think that there will be transport, as far as we are aware, along the Dart Line.
Yes. Paul, does it offer an opportunity for Ireland for holidays here? I mean, if it is 40 degrees in the south of Spain or in the south of Italy, is there an opportunity for Ireland to offer something a little cooler?
I think so. The buzzword is coolcations, and there's definitely been an uplift in people looking to travel outside of the peak season in May and June and in September. There's been sort of increased tourism in Scandinavia, places like that would be traditionally cooler. But I think, look, the reality is people don't come to Ireland for the weather one way or the other. It never ranks, and you know why.
Could that change, though?
If you're marketing it as it's not 40 degrees, then of course it could change. Yeah.
I have a friend who married a girl from Boston, and she says she actually loves coming here during the summer because there's a breeze. I said, you just do not get that in Massachusetts in the summer. You know, it's so oppressive.
I get that, and it's refreshing. And when it's good, it's great. The problem is the consistency with it.
When it's so lashing rain.
If we're sitting here next week, let alone in November, it's hard. So it's hard to plan a whole tourism industry around it. But the feedback I'm getting is, yes, there are more inquiries from people who are just saying, even places like northern Spain, which would have been considered a cooler alternative in the south, is just too hot at the moment. So let's go to Ireland during the hotter months and then maybe look elsewhere after that.
We've had a correction in already.
Yeah, I see.
We would like to apologise to anyone from Wicklow who we may have offended, because apparently, Kira, you would know this.
And it's true.
And Paul, you would probably know this as well. In Wicklow, we don't say we're going for a swim, says a listener. We say we are going for a dip.
Okay.
You see,
that's us all told.
I know,
Shane,
you have to know your audience, because Malahide and Greystones are very similar towns, yeah. I think.
Louise, I'm guessing you don't say we're going for a dip.
No, I say I'm going for a swim.
Yeah.
And I do. I'm not a brilliant sea, so I'm a decent swimmer, but it is cold. Even when it's warm, it's cold. It is lovely. I've been sea swimming with my grandson. He swims like a fish. He doesn't feel the cold. Wow. I'm a little bit more cautious, shall we say, when I'm getting in. He tends to just go for it. I'm a little bit more dip my toe in and take my time.
We will be talking about the best beaches and saunas, because of course saunas are a mad craze now for everybody, a little bit later on in the show, for people who do want to holiday or even just enjoy their leisure in Dublin over the summer months. We also wanted to talk to you about the top stories in the news today, including that the best way to spend your retirement is to have a lot of sex, go on a lot of holidays and drink a lot of wine, apparently. And we were just wondering what all of you thought about that.
Yeah, hands up, everybody. No, I'm only joking.
It's very hard to argue with that now, Kira.
I think so too.
Well, I'm not a medical doctor now, but I just wonder.
Fair enough, that's what I thought.
I'd say there was extensive research that went into that particular survey.
Does anyone have a better idea how to spend
their
retirement?
That's what I was just going to say.
Well, if you can do all three at the same time.
Yeah.
On holiday.
Yeah, you have the time to do it when you're retired as well. Why wouldn't you?
Tricky balancing the glass of wine, but I think otherwise you'd manage to be able to do it.
Ah, you could make it work. You could make it work.
That's Sinn Féin policy. You could.
I say, give them a chance.
Yeah, not only is our policy that you should be able to retire at the age of 65, but you should have the means to be able to properly enjoy it.
Well, I think you would get a lot of votes, to be perfectly honest. But do we think enough about things like that? Like, it actually is a story in the news today. I didn't just pluck it from the air, but. When I heard it, I went, because, you know, retirement is not so far away. It's probably 20 years or less. Mm. And I hadn't given it any thought. But that gave me great, great hope. And I think sometimes we view retirement as a different kind of a vibe, as a pause and as an ending. But maybe a beginning.
Maybe it's a new beginning.
I kind of think it could be.
I think our attitudes to it are definitely changing, to retirement, certainly. I think it's now because, one, I think, once again, both the world opening up and everyone travelling and whatever, and you're like, my youngest now just turned 18. And so already my wife and I are thinking, we are ready to kick them so far from the nest. And they'll go, what are we going to do now? And luckily, I'm still mad about the woman. So we love spending time together. And I think people are really looking and going, I've actually paid into a pension. People have really learned properly about pensions a good maybe 30 years ago. And now they're going, the fruits of my labor. And honestly, sex, good food, holidays and wine is... What better way to end your final days, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's true.
Paul is staying very quiet during this.
Paul is younger. Is younger than the demographic here.
Combined with the rising temperatures, I think Ireland could be a wine producing nation in those 20 years, Kira.
We do already produce wine in North County Dublin, the Luisca Vineyards in Lusk.
Really?
Yes, we do indeed.
I think there's some in Wexford too.
Yes, there is, and the temperature lends itself well to that, and more, because you know in France, I holiday most years in France. When you go to Burgundy, they will tell you that the very fabric of the grapes and everything is changing now because of climate change. They can see it. Farmers will always see it before, I think, anybody else. They will see it. But there's a very thriving vineyard not too far from here.
Well, you touch on something that maybe we forget about, that North County Dublin in particular is kind of a bit of a breadbasket for
amazing
the country, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We are the market garden for the East Coast.
A better expression.
And we have, everything, cucumbers, tomatoes, you know, a lot of the horticulture. Beautiful rush potatoes.
I was
eating some last night, actually. Yeah. My husband got them yesterday. We're very, very lucky. The vegetables and the fruit that are grown here, absolutely stunning. So when people are coming to North County Dublin, bring a basket, bring a bag, spend some money, spend some time. It's a great place to be.
Obviously, climate change is a bad thing for much of the planet, but we are going to get warmer and a bit wetter. So I have no doubt that we will be able to produce different produce here going forward, and with all change comes some degree of opportunity, and Ireland may
I'm the eternal optimist, but I think that maybe in maybe the next 20 years, you know the way Saudi Arabia has all the oil and they're super, super wealthy. Maybe if things keep going, we will be the water country. Instead of oil, we'll be the last vestige of water on the planet.
Okay. You think?
And then we'll be the richest.
As long as you'll have water charges, of course.
Well, we fought that and we did very well.
We won.
We're not going there. We won't go there today. Paul, just give us a couple of last few tips of like what are the must-see things in Dublin? If people are thinking of coming for the weekend or whatever.
Don't forget our great... We talk about costs in Dublin, but don't forget our museums and great galleries are free, which is unusual for a European capital.
Yeah, it is.
A point, I was just thinking about this before I came into you. Thursday being the new Friday post-COVID, last Thursday of every month is a Dublin by Dusk initiative where they're trying to encourage museums, galleries, other attractions to open late. So take a look at that. It's a good opportunity to stay in after work. Guinness Storehouse has a thing called Thursday Night Socials where if you have a Dublin air code, you book online with your air code, you get in for €15. It can be up to 30 usually. You can do the tour, you can get your pint of Guinness or Guinness Zero included, and they have DJs and food trucks and whatnot. So we talk about sort of daycations and day trips and micro breaks more and more in travel these days. Let's face it, not many people are going to come to Dublin for a week on their summer holidays, but to just use that as an anchor activity, have a slice of pizza on your way there, go and see a painting on your way back, go home, you really will feel energised and excited about this.
Micro holidays, and that is a thing. Loads of people are texting about swimming and all kinds of things. I do proper long distance swimming in the sea. I consider a dipper someone who floats or just does the breaststroke with their head above water. Are we throwing shade at breaststroke?
Louise is sticking her hand in the air.
For a few minutes. I consider a swimmer, a person who swims a good distance with their head submerged, Jim and Bray.
Head submerged does depend on what time of year it is.
That sounds like my dad. He is a proper swimmer. He loves it. But I'm probably more of a splasher maybe than a swimmer. But
the origin of the word dip is being further explored by our listeners. We always called it a dip in my family in Malahide, 60 years plus, but could have come from my dad, who is from Dollymount. Who knows?
Yeah. Look, keep your texts coming into us here on The Hard Shoulder, here on News Talk, on our summer tour from Malahide. Can we hear our audience? Hello.
Woo.
Hey. We're very grateful to our audience because it is one of the nicest days of the year. So the fact that they took the trouble to come and join us, and I hope you will have your refreshments over there as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.